With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 441st episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my excellent co-host. We have, I don't know who goes first. We'll go alphabetically. We have we have Linian.
Hello, good morning.
And then we also have Seth Vilo.
My name starts with an S.
Thanks, bud. Maybe we should go alphabetical by first names. It was still the same order. Never mind. Okay. Moving on. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast, where you can get every Pokemon discussion topic from the TCG to the video game to everything in between. Like Thatch's really sweet Lugia pen holder that he still has yet to take a picture of, despite saying for I think now it's 7 months saying that I'll do it.
My God,
that seems accurate, actually.
Well, yeah, that's when I went to Japan. So October to now, yeah, that sounds right. 7 months, everything sounds right.
everything sounds right.
So welcome back if you're new. Welcome if you're welcome if you're new. Welcome back if you're old. There we go. That's how that goes. We've got a good show for you today, and we've got some bubbly personalities. So. I guess I'll ask you guys, what have you been up to in Pokemon since the last time you were on?
Have you booted up the game, Seth? Because that might put you over me.
You're right. Yeah.
I did a couple raids a couple days ago, but other than that, I've been just doing Showdown and TCG. So, I mean, I've been doing stuff.
That still counts, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Go, too, recently, actually.
Yeah, I booted that up the other day too. When I actually did have to go into my office for work once, and you know, leaving the house where there's actually spins and stuff like that I could see, because I can't see any from my house, so I don't get any benefit. So that was kind of cool. And the Hoenn event is going on right now, mm-hmm. So you know, the best generation. So excited.
The greatest generation.
I have to say Hoenn's grown on me, but I think it's only just been because of like recent Pokemon. I don't know if it's just like, it's like Gen 5, I would have been like, yeah, I still think Hoenn's the worst, but it's still a good game, right? Like I never thought that Gen 3 was a bad Pokemon game per se, just that it was like, it's not the best Pokemon game, right? It's still a Pokemon game, so it's still a good game. But I think in like maybe even after Alola, just probably because Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon just like left a really bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, this is probably not the worst one anymore.
I like Hoenn. I don't know why exactly. Maybe I like water, but I think Gen 1 and 2, even though they were the original, I've been playing since the beginning too. They just didn't firmly attach with me, probably because there's so many warm colors, honestly. That's probably it. But
I think if you just look at the region of Kanto in general, it's just very
Kanto's boring.
It's boring. It's very basic, right? It was the first one, so that makes sense. And I can respect that. Mm-hmm. I mean, but then you start getting to like they started having like ideas for other regions because they tried to make just like a generic Pokemon world with Kanto. And I think they accomplished that. It is very generic. But
yes.
I'd say after that, every single region has had some kind of personality.
Yeah.
Right? Like even Johto. Like Johto's like, hey, by the way, this is like very Japan. Like, here you go. I wouldn't even say Kanto felt very much like Japan.
From the dev stories that I've heard, a lot of it came down to just they did not have the disk space to make it very personalized.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have a lot of assets. But when they hit Johto, they were familiar enough with the engine. They started being like, like the whole shrine in Ilex Forest. The reason mm-hmm. that exists was it was super easy to cobble together out of tiles that went other places.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
So they were familiar enough with their engine, they could make a memorable location. And Kanto suffers from being such a big game, like data intensive on the original Game Boy, that they just kind of had to make grass. It was important to get terrain more than it was to get personality, but it doesn't hold up largely because of that.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying, like, I think people look back at those games all the time because, like, they're definitely a product of their time as well. Like, Gen 1 did good because in comparison to other, like, Game Boy games that existed at the time, Gen 1 Pokemon was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
All things considered. Even with all the glitches and all of the problems it had, it was still a pretty good game overall. And then obviously it doesn't have to hold up. I mean, you can keep improving on things, Pokemon. You're allowed to keep improving on things and bringing back features that people like. But it's I mean, they did very well. I think Gen 2 has done very well. Gen 2 is the one that I like really attached to, obviously. I think that's just more because that's the one where it like really solidified, like, this is something that I really, really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I really want to keep playing. And that's when my fandom cemented. So, I mean, I think that's part of it.
Mm.
I think that's part of it. But yeah, Pokemon Go is happening. I've only been doing it mostly because of FOMO for the Galarian forms.
Mm.
Because if you don't complete all of the research for all of these tasks by the end of the month or within the time frames, because it's one every week, if you don't complete them, you don't get you get an opportunity to catch the Galarian forms in the first week of June. And I'm just like, man, I have to do this now just so I can get the Galarian forms.
Yeah,
because they're putting in like some of the Galarian Pokemon too, and by that I mean like Obstagoon and Berserker are going to be in the game. So
I missed the reason to pick up the game again. Okay, I'm done. Yeah,
I'm very interested in how those models look, just because they're the first like post 3DS models we have imported into Pokemon Go.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point.
And so maybe that's like the only reason I care, but at the same time, it's just like, no, I kind of want Berserker. So I'm going to go get Berserker. Hopefully my Meowth candy work on my Galarian Meowth. That's what I'm hoping, because I have a lot of
Meowth
candy.
Yeah, I mean, it should. They evolved from the same chain thing. Yeah, it's the difference between Beautifly candy and Dustox candy. They don't exist. They're just
Wurmple. That's true. Never mind. You make a very valid point, Seth. So thank God. Same with Zigzagoon candy then, too. I'll probably have enough Zigzagoon candy. Yeah, and then I think there's a couple of them. I forget which ones exactly, but there's a couple more that are also coming out. I think Galarian Stunfisk is one of them. I don't even have a Unovan Stunfisk. Right. Yeah, right? Yeah, cool. Stunfisk got a Galarian form. Very memorable.
I only have like 8 Unovan anything, and I think none of them are Snivy.
None of them. I have a lot of Snivy. But yeah, it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time. I like playing Pokemon Go right now. Mostly because it gets me out of the house for like once a day. I go for a walk. I live like a mile away from a park. So, you know, you just go walk down to the park, walk around the park, come back home.
Must be nice.
It is. It is. I'll be completely honest with you, Seth. It may or may not be part of the reason that I selected this house is the one that I purchased. Because I was just like, hey, mostly because I like walking. When I was a kid, I grew up like outside of city limits. And I never had a sidewalk or anything. And it was such a pain to like go anywhere, like as a kid. And so, when we were looking for a house, I'm like, no, I want to be in a neighborhood with like a sidewalk where I can like walk to things. I really enjoyed that, especially when I was like in Columbus, when I was living there. Like you were actually at that apartment. I lived in like 4 different apartments in Columbus, Seth, but you were at the one where I lived right behind the Kroger.
Yeah.
And that was the best place I ever lived, honestly, in terms of location with things.
Easy peasy, go to Kroger to get your lemons to squeezy.
Dude, that's exactly what I do. I don't think I ever bought like a grocery load. I think I would just buy all of my groceries like one or two bags at a time.
Go get your day of things in the morning.
Yeah, no, essentially, hey, I'm thinking about cooking this for dinner. And then I just go and get like those ingredients, and then you still have stuff left over, right? After you like have one recipe, so that's like how I stocked up. It'd be like, hey, I want to cook this, I want to cook that, and then inevitably it was like, oh, I already have all of those things.
Welcome to the cooking podcast, everybody.
This is just living in an apartment next to a grocery store. I do live down the street from an Aldi's now, so it's still not bad. Yeah, Aldi's. They yelled at me the other day because I walked over there because I've just been trying to walk and like be active. And
yuck.
And like I was walking in and they're like, here's a cart for you. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm just here for some bananas. Right.
We need your quarter. The only way to appease the elder god.
Well, so they said, no, sir, you need this cart. And I said, no, I'm getting a banana.
What the heck?
I'm just getting some bananas. They said, no, because of social distancing, everybody has to have a cart. And they already put the quarter in for me. Yeah.
To make it more difficult to be around people.
Yeah. Okay. That's the reason why. And I was like, okay, if that makes you feel better. Cause like you see people like stop their carts and just like walk around the grocery store anyway. Like this isn't accomplishing anything. But whatever, it's fine. So I got my bananas and then I left. And that's the story.
Powerful story.
Yeah, then I found $20. So that is the story of Thatch going to Aldi's. But I played Pokemon Go on the way there. There's our tie-in. Okay.
There we go.
So welcome to the Puckle Podcast. We do have some news to get to today, guys. So let's switch on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about because Pokemon actually did things this week. Who would have thought?
Gasp.
Last week they did like nothing. And this week we actually have a lot of things. One of them is the topic. So we're gonna go over that later. But the Wild Area event currently has shifted away from the competitive Pokemon and now will feature Gigantamax, Pikachu, Eevee, and Meowth for individual weeks over the next 3 weeks. I think, unfortunately, when the show comes out, Pikachu is already over. Well, yeah. Just about end. So Gigantamax Pikachu is running until May 18th, which is the day that this show comes out. So it'll probably go until very close to the end. People keep saying it can have Surf and Volt Tackle. Fun fact, because I didn't realize that a lot of people didn't know this, but Pikachu can already learn Surf and Sword and Shield.
Yep.
From a TR. So... Fun fact.
I couldn't learn from an HM in previous gens. The world may never know.
We will never know. It's fine. Eevee is going to be May 19th to May 25th, Gigantamax Eevee. And Gigantamax Meowth is going to be available May 26th to June 1st. So now all of these can be shiny. They couldn't be shiny previously. They were shiny locked. And they can have their hidden abilities. In addition to that, the only one that's good is Pikachu. So there you go. There you go. You need G-Max Pikachu to actually care.
yeah.
Because G-Max Eevee isn't that good, and G-Max Meowth is definitely not that good.
G-Max Meowth is good for one thing and one thing only, and that's making money.
Yes. I mean, if you didn't buy the game at launch, I think it's a good way to get a G-Max Meowth otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that is it.
But we got adaptability G-Max Eevee, guys. I think that might be what it needed to push it into competitive.
No, it's not. Don't lie to yourself.
Oh, I'm not lying to myself. I'm lying to the viewers.
Seth, tell me more about how COVID-19 is affecting Pokemon.
Yeah, this is your weekly plague update. So you know how...
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. That was just
you know
the best
how last week we mentioned that, you know, the movie's coming out or something like that, but it'll come out in the middle of July ish or something like that, and that's when the movie will come out. Yay! Not anymore. The movie Coco that has Zarud in it and the shiny Celebi and something to do with time travel, blah blah blah, has been indefinitely postponed.
Bum, bum, bum.
That makes us kind of worry about some things. Number one, we kind of start to worry about when people might get their distributions of Zarud and the shiny Celebi. We don't know when those are happening or if those are delayed. Another thing, if those were being tied into the DLC release, who knows? Maybe the next announcement.
I don't think they were tied into it.
I mean,
I don't either.
I don't know. It's an assumption on my part. It's a Seth Vilo assumption. So if it's wrong, sweet. We get DLC at the same time we were going to in mid-June.
It's but good because it's a lot not, of your things are wrong. Like Armor Evolution. Yeah.
I don't know. Some of those GMAX got armor.
Let's stop.
So, I mean, if I'm wrong, awesome. I'm happy about that. But, you know, they may end up delaying that as well. Because if there's no DLC for Zerud to land in, I don't know.
I don't see Isle of Armor getting delayed. I see Crown Tundra getting delayed at this point.
Yeah, I can
That's
see
really
that.
What I see. I see Crown Tundra, yeah, instead of coming out, like, I would assume October-ish time frame, getting pushed to, like, December.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's kind of what
December
I'm imagining
20th,
right now.
When it's still fall and they can hold their promise.
Yeah, yeah. that's honestly what I see. I see that happening more so than anything else. And I'm sure they'll be like very apologetic about it as it's happening as well.
Please understand.
I think it'll be better than the please understand. I'm sure it'll be like, yeah, we know you already paid money for this because
that's
a lot of people have.
That happened.
Because we hadn't paid for money. We hadn't paid money for Pokemon Bank yet at that point, so...
Yeah,
I think with people have already pre-ordered the DLC, including all of us. I think that might be a problem. But I'm not too worried about the U.S. distributions of Zerud and Shiny Celebi either.
Those are going to be at GameStop anyway. So what does
it
matter?
Oh, please no. I don't know if they'll be at GameStop.
I don't know if GameStop is going to survive this.
It might be at Target.
There we go.
It might be
Pass.
At Target. I don't mind Target. Target's nice. If Target like put GameStops inside of them, I might go. I'd be okay with that. Instead of those places in the Walmart,
instead of like an
kind of like
thing,
that.
It's a GameStop.
Yeah, yeah. It like says it's a GameStop inside the Target. Like it's exactly in the same place that you'd find all the video games prior in Target.
Target started selling ThinkGeek stuff, my life would be complete.
Honestly, yeah. I think Target, this is a... Okay, so we usually say, hey, Pokemon, this is a really good idea, you should take it. But Target, I'm just saying, this is a good idea, you should take her, you should take it. This is free. all right, well, tell me more, Lydian, about Twilight Wings, I guess.
Twilight Wings, the thing that you keep forgetting about, that it you go, oh, that came out, then you watch it and feel like weirdly emotionally invested for 5 minutes and then forget about. It's coming out June 5th as scheduled. It was previously stated that Nessa would be the focus of multiple episodes for some bizarre and completely unpredictable reason, but it's unclear if she's the focus for this one or if they're going to move it to a different character and then eventually bring it back.
Twilight Wings has just been weird.
But I like it.
It's not bad. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's what's surreal about it to me is I remember the Pokemon Generations thing that they did, where they did those things, and I remember that each time those came out, it was an event, and I would watch it, and they were all great. Even the ones that weren't great were fun. Twilight Wings, I feel like I enjoy each individual episode more, and then they're spontaneously gone from my memory the moment I close the tab.
I agree with that. Oh, yeah.
I think it's just because they don't come out as frequently. I think that's honestly the answer, because Generations came out weekly for 18 weeks. For 18 weeks, we had an episode. So, I mean, that's like 4 months straight of just like a new episode every week. And it was a Friday on top of that. The release date was a Friday. They were smart about it because it was just like, hey, noon on a Friday. What else are you doing? Who's actually doing work at that time? Nobody. So you open up your laptop at work and you watch your Generations episode for 5 to 10 minutes. On top of that, I think they were slightly more relatable. There was definitely nostalgia there, but it was slightly more relatable just in that it was a lot of older games, and it was really cool seeing some scenes that we were all familiar with, like, play out in anime form.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that had been implied to have happened just off camera, finally we got to see what it actually had looked like.
Yeah.
The Charon one, to this day, remains one of the most distressing things I've ever watched, when she's just eating the nothing on the plate.
Yeah.
It's creepy. It's legitimately creepy.
It's so weird. It's so cool, though. I do miss those. I don't think Twilight Wings is bad. I think it's good.
No.
I just wish it was one, like, a continuous story arc. But it's also cool. It's a nice slice of life.
Hey.
Of the Pokemon world.
So, no one could get that.
Ha ha! I did it. Moving on, though. Pokemon Go has announced the next community day is this upcoming weekend, May 24th, and will feature CDOT. I like that they're making the community day Pokemon worse. Shiftry will learn Bullet Seed, and players will receive 3x capture experience during the event. Well, that's enough reason to go play. 3x capture experience. Go pop a Lucky Egg. That's 6x capture experience. It's crazy. Community Day will run from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. because they've extended the hours for COVID. And Niantic is also hosting a 24-hour stream that I'm sure Seth will watch.
Dang,
from
right
May 24th to May 25th that will showcase CDOT and other Pokemon in the wild.
Heck yeah! Woo!
Players can also purchase special research for the event called Seeing Double, as well as the standard Community Day bundle. Exciting times.
What if they drop a Galarian form?
They won't. They're not gonna,
I know, but what if they do?
They won't. They've already discussed how they're going to do it, and it's actually in that next piece of research for
you.
What
if it's Galarian CDOT?
Oh my gosh, you're done. You're done. They're not going to show anything new during that stream.
Seeing double thatch, it's a double CDOT.
I don't want to talk to you. But you can go ahead and you can do this next piece.
You got it. So back to Pokemon Go news. Still, until May 22nd, the throwback is doing Hoenn research, like I mentioned, and there's a Groudon encounter for completing it. A couple things are new for this round of Go stuff. Shiny Skitty can now be found. So, yay.
I mean, that's something that like Pokemon Go players get really hyped for.
Yeah, I mean, but Skitty?
They're running out of Pokemon they haven't already made shiny.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, well, so you've got a week to complete it, and completing all four of the throwback research will get them special cool stuff that, like what we mentioned earlier. You get access to the Galarians. Zigzagoon, Meowth, Darumaka, and Stunfisk.
Darumaka was the one I missed. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, and those will happen June 3rd through 8th, so you've got some time.
I'm very excited for it, though. Like, I want Galarian, Zigzagoon, and Meowth specifically.
Yeah.
I want those specifically. All right, Linian, take us home with the end of anything we care about in Pokemon Go.
Well, if we were doing anything we cared about, I would have been done with Galarian Zigzagoon. But continuing on to this part of the document. Beginning on May 19th, you can relive your Gen 5 OU nightmares because Terrakion will be the featured encounter for 5-star raids. Yikes. So get that. This is the final week that Pokemon Go is promoting those single Pokecoin packages. Get them if you ever want to play.
This is the final week?
So easy.
I didn't realize there was an end day for that. I thought they were just doing it like while COVID was happening. And just like, here you go.
What's COVID?
Huh?
Okay, sure.
Finally, Niantic has announced a new feature that is being added to Pokemon Go. To assist players to understand in understanding what they can do while playing at home, 6 categories: catch, gift, battle, research, buddy, and style. Basically, they realized that putting everything out piecemeal without any form of tutorial system was probably a very bad idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're retroactively patching in ways to explain their convoluted insanity.
It's getting really bad because like I was really scared of Pokemon Go Battle League until I just tried it recently. Because I'm like, I don't really feel like laddering in Pokemon Go. And then there was like a mission where like you have to battle a trainer in like one of these four. So I'm like, fine, I'll just like give in and go do like an early one. And I did it. And it was nothing like I thought it was. Because it had never been explained to me. And it's not even a ladder. It's just like, hey, you do 5 battles against other people in the same like category as you. But honestly, if you just did 5 battles in the category beforehand, no matter how well you did, you ranked up anyway. So so who cares? And so like it ends up being like if you don't play like right as the season starts, you just end up with like a bunch of easy battles. Because it's some guy who's just like, yeah, these Pokemon fit.
I just want that sweet leather jacket that you get only if you unlock veteran tier.
it's odd. I don't know. It's just like they're very bad at explaining. I do agree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for Pokemon news. We do have some Puckle news, some very quick Puckle news. In May, we are doing a giveaway for patrons like we do every month. Well, these are the dates and the Pokemon we're giving away. We are giving away a shiny hidden ability Gigantamax Pikachu and a hidden shiny hidden ability Gigantamax Eevee. It's also, we're giving those away. I forget which one's for $5 and which one's for $10. But P. McGee put it on the Patreon, so you'll know. There are four distribution dates, May 23rd, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., May 25th, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., May 27th, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., and May 30th, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Now, you'll notice one thing that's very different. These are all four-hour events instead of two-hour events like they have been previously. We are changing the way the distributions work. It's no longer going to be manned by Thatch. The distribution codes are going to be sent to Patreon, and during those times, if you put in those distribution codes for either Pokemon, you'll be able to get that Pokemon at that time. Make sense? Makes sense. Cool.
Future is now. Thanks.
Thanks to a second Switch. Yeah. So that is it for that, though. This is it for the news. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Seth and Linian are going to be operating today as a team to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions that you sent in from the Discord server. From the Discord server. Not a random email. not an iTunes review. not Thatch's DMs. You didn't call Thatch and give him a trivia question.
Well, I did, but that one didn't get on.
No, it didn't, because you know why? It was not in the Discord server in the trivia submissions channel. Fun fact, that's where all of the trivia questions come from. Like I've said. But without further ado...
Go put the stinging telegram away.
Yeah, right? I'm going to get, like, somebody's going to, like, send smoke signals to my house and be like, my question didn't get on the show, Thatch.
Let me cancel this Uber real fast.
Moving on, though, they're going to have five questions to answer, each worth 1 point apiece, except for the one that's not, depending on how bad they're doing. They'll get 2 or 3 points. Then they do have a lifeline and a hint that they can use at any time. However, if they get all of the questions correct without using the hint, they can cash it in for an extra point for a possible total of 7. They are in a race with their fellow co-host to see who can get 30 points first. They'll get a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. And on top of that, you as a fan, if your question is right on the show, you'll get a $20 credit to the sponsor of this segment, AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop to get all of your cool nerd geek artwork. I don't know how to explain them further. That seems like a pretty apt description.
Yeah.
Other than they're very nice. They're just very nice people.
They're so nice. They're so nice. They're my convention buddies. I really enjoy them. So go check out AnimeGravy.com for that. But on that note, let's dig into it. Rivi has put together a nice list of trivia for us from the Discord, and I'd be remiss if I didn't read it. Our first question this week is going to come from 3 Mac Attack. Which generation introduced the least amount of flying moves?
Least amount of flying moves. Which one introduced the least amount of moves, just in general? I feel like it'd be one of the more modern ones.
I would assume 8, because 7 just added so many, like, everything had a signature something, right?
Yeah.
And
I don't know if the Z moves would count. That adds a 1 or 2.
Just about 2, I think. I can't think of more. Well, Gen 2 did not... Oh, added a bunch. What am I saying?
It also did things like change gust to flying, so...
That wouldn't count, though, because that's not introducing a new move.
Okay.
Huh. Well, it also had... I know it's definitely not 4 or 1.
Okay.
Just because 4 had... so many moves got added to for physical special split.
Yeah. So get rid of 4-1. I don't think it's going to be 2 because that just added a lot more. It kind of fleshed out the rest of the game.
I think it mostly changed moves, though, for flying. I mean, what flying move can you think was even added in Gen 2? Other than, I think, Aeroblast?
I'm not sure. I know there's probably a couple, though. I'm guessing. I don't know. Because a whole bunch of random, like, status class, especially moves, got added in Gen 2.
Yeah, but what status class flying moves are there?
I don't know. Tailwind setup moves of some sort. I don't
Tailwind remember. is gen like 5.
Mm-hmm.
Feather Dance is Gen 3. I can't think of any Defog is 4. I can't think of any. I think it's Gen 2.
Yeah.
Because all they did was change it. Because Peck wasn't until Gen 2, but they changed it.
Mm-hmm.
Gust. All of those standard stuff that I can think of for like Hoot Hoot and those things, all of them are just Gen 1 retypes. I'm gonna say Gen 2.
I'm good with it.
It's Aeroblast.
I'm not very confident, so I'm good with it.
Generation 2 is correct.
Sweet.
The only nice flying type move that was added was Aeroblast.
Nice!
A signature move.
There we go.
That 1-for-1. I'm picking this next question solely based on the person that submitted its name, BT Dubs.
Oh, okay.
So this is from Egotistical Elekid. I think we've asked this question before, but in like a different format. I'm very curious to see if you get it, because I think this is like the third time I've asked this question.
Okay.
Oh, no.
What is the only fire type Pokemon other than Darmanitan Galarian Zen Mode that can learn Powder Snow?
So it's obviously a Gen 1-y boy. I don't think you've asked this at least since I've been on.
I don't know if that's true. Within the, I guess it's now like a 4-year history of Puckle's Poke Quiz. I have asked it a couple of times.
Fire types. Is there anything that evolves from a...
Vulpix comes to mind because of the thing. There's not really any...
I assume that wouldn't count, right?
It's not a fire type.
Yeah, that one's not fire type, but I feel like there might be some kind of cross between them. I don't know. Maybe it's a random egg move on the other one or something. I don't know.
Or a Pokemon that can change types.
Oh, duh. Idiot. What? Cast form.
Oh, right. Cast form. Sunny day cast form.
That is correct.
Okay.
cast form, sunny form. Is the only other fire type Pokemon that can learn Powder Snow outside of Darmanitan, Galarian Zen Mode.
How specific.
I've asked this question before. It was before Galarian Zen Mode existed, but one of these questions doesn't have a name attached to it for question number 3, so we're going to go with the one with the name attached to it.
All right.
So this one is from Haley, and Haley wants to know, this is a Pokedex entry, obviously, because it's your third question.
Right.
Haley wants to know, its Pokemon Sword Pokedex entry says, this Pokemon is quick to anger, and it has no problem using its prodigious strength to get its way. It lives for duels against Obstagoon. Who's that Pokemon?
What?
Duels against Obstagoon? I feel like I should know this.
Yeah, you should.
Prodigious strength.
Prodigious strength.
Prodigious.
Prodigious, bruh.
Prodigious? Prodigious?
It's prodigious. It's prodigious. That's how it's pronounced.
Prodigious?
They just said it a lot in Digimon, Digital Monsters.
Could you read that again?
This Pokemon is quick to anger, and it has no problem using its prodigious strength to get its way. It lives for duels against Obstagoon.
The only thing that I can... There are only two Pokemon that come to mind when I think duel. From that are Sirfetch'd and... what's the name of Clobopus's up? Grapploct. Those are the only things I think of with dueling, you know, like a one-on-one thing. But I think Grapploct's are all about how it murders things and, like, eats them.
Yeah, and I don't think Sirfetch'd is that. That talks about, like, how it duels, not, like, duels against things specifically. And it's not really that it's strong,
but it's quad super effective, though.
How does something like Machamp sound? That's prodigious.
Yeah, but... No, because it always talks about, like, So that's all about like how hard it punch. Its punch can knock over a large bus. It's like, cool, Machamp. See, that's what makes me think Sirfetch'd.
But that's not quick to anger. That's like, it's won many fights, and it's old, and it has a vegetable.
God. And it has a vegetable.
Vegetable.
Put that on my tombstone. Won many fights and is old, has a vegetable.
And has a vegetable. Buried with his leek. Rare.
Rare.
And it's sword version, for what that's worth. I don't really think it's worth anything.
Well, you played Shield, didn't you?
I did. So that's why I'm kind of at a loss. Not gonna lie.
I feel good. I feel pretty good about Sirfetch'd. I don't feel amazing, but it might be Galarian Farfetch'd, but that doesn't seem like they would pit it against Obstagoon.
I don't think either of those are right. Because the birds are all about how low-key hinting at how you have to evolve them.
Yeah, but that's why it would be the final one after.
I'm gonna need an answer.
It's like that. Or Hitmonchan, but that's all about how fast it punches.
Yeah, how fast it punch.
I need an answer.
How fast it punch. Kick.
I'm going to say Sirfetch'd. Are you going to argue?
Sure, go for it.
Sirfetch'd is unfortunately incorrect.
No.
The answer is Pangoro.
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lee?
Pangoro.
Obviously.
Fun fact. All right.
That notable Pokemon.
That notable Pokemon. Remember that's in Pokemon Sword and Shield? Pangoro.
Ooh, Smogon's having a tizzy over it right now, so yes.
Really? It is?
It's somewhat kind of OU viable.
Hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is your question. Since you got one wrong so far, this one will be worth... there's only two answers for both these choices, so you get 2 points. Blame Ruby, not me.
Cool.
This one is from Poliwhoa. And, ooh, we're not going to ask that one. We'll ask that one. Two ground-type Pokemon cannot learn Earthquake? There's two of them.
Curses and Vulgarity.
I'll tell you that they're both dual types.
Yeah, they would have to be.
One is Gen 3 and one is Gen 5. I don't know if this is actually correct, but I'm going to find out.
Okay.
Gen 5, I'm going through my head. Ground types, Golurk and Golett can.
Crocodile that makes sense now. Okay. It's correct.
Yep. It is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yamask can.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Gen 3, just because that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
The Gen 3 Pokemon is hard to get in Pokemon Go.
That would help if I played Pokemon
Go. Free hint. Somebody's yelling at their car radio. They're yelling at their computer speakers while working.
You know
from
what?
Home.
You want to just no.
What's a not hard ground type to getting go? What the heck?
I feel like I'm missing a jet. Excadrill definitely.
I'll give you both types when
both types.
I'll give you the types that are missing if you use the hint.
I mean, might as well.
I don't think I.
We've gotten a wrong question.
I mean, I want to save it for the base stat, to be perfectly honest. All of these lowest ones always throw me. Fine. Okay, give us the types.
All right, the Gen 3 Pokemon is a bug ground type.
Oh, okay.
The Gen 5 one is water ground, and it's neither of them are fully evolved.
Yeah, I've got the Gen 3 one. That's,
That's...
Ninkata.
Yeah, I was like... You said
Ninkata is correct. Yes.
I was like, Ninja, no, wait. A water ground that can't learn Earthquake that's not fully evolved.
The only thing I can think of would be
stupid
Tadpole comes pure water, isn't it? Yeah, Tympole's pure water. Palpitoad is ground. So I guess it would have to be Palpitoad because those were the only water ground. Well, unless there was another water ground in Gen 5.
I'm trying to think. Water ground is a very popular type. Those were 4. That was 3. That was 2. Yeah. It's not Seismitoad, obviously. I can teach that Earthquake. Stupid OU frog. I guess that Palpitoad sounds right.
It would have to be Palpitoad, because, yeah, Tympole has to be pure water.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Palpitoad is correct as well. That is 2 points for you guys today. You are woo! 4 for 4. Moving on to our final question, which is our base deck question. This one is going to come to you from, I guess, Farmer Fox.
Okay.
Not fully evolved Pokemon has the highest defense stat?
Onix comes to mind. I think it's like 185.
It's not that high, is it? Cosmoan, maybe? It's 131-ish.
Okay, yeah. Onix is definitely higher, because I think Steelix is 200 and Onix is 185. That's why Onix's attack stat is 35, because it has all of its stats somewhere else.
Is there anything
speed
else?
And defense.
Is there anything else that basically doesn't change stats much?
I'm trying to think of anything that can just beat Onix. It may be 165, but even then, that's still absurd.
Well, yeah, because that beats the other thing I was thinking, which was Doublade.
Yeah,
which is like a 150. I think. I don't have a better answer.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else, so I think Onix.
Onix is correct.
Is it 185? Do you have it?
160.
160, okay. Still stupid.
It's still stupid high. So that does change up our standings this week, though.
Yeet!
So let me go ahead and change up our standings. We are going to go ahead and look for Thatch's browser that has it in it. That is just a Zoom call. Okay, there we go. And so you guys got 5 points. That does change up the standings today. Linian gets on the board.
Yay.
This is a very fresh ladder.
Yeah.
In first place, we have Sublime with 11 points.
Dagnabbit.
In second place, we have Seth Vilo with 10 points. In a four-way tie for third, we have P. McGee, Whimsicott, R. Sigma, and Jushiro with 6 points. And in seventh place, we have Linian with 5 points. Scrawn, Dr. Shamu, and Basket are all tied for eighth with 0 points and have yet to get on the board. All right, that is it for this week's episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz. We are going to kick things on over now to the topic. And we have another iTunes review this week from NYJets42. Awesome podcast. Just started listening, but I'm already in love with the podcast, loving each and every one of the segments, and I'm learning a lot about something I thought I already knew a lot about already. Wanting to get back onto the competitive scene, this is also really helpful. Keep going and being awesome. Well, thank you. And if you want your review read on the show, review the podcast wherever you listen to us. We really appreciate it. If we hit enough, maybe we'll do another giveaway. But let's now kick it on over to the topic. And welcome back from your break. Not your break, our break. We're going to go ahead and talk about some other things that have been happening in Pokemon. Something that I'm a little upset that Sigma's not here, because Sigma and I have been championing this for a while, both off the podcast and on the podcast. What happened is, we have huge news just for competitive Pokemon in general, TCG video game, and Pokken, because it exists.
Yeah.
Someone
got locked into a contract. That is the only explanation.
Punched Pokemon. Yeah, brother.
I don't know how a game was worse support than any other game I've ever seen. It's just like, yeah, we still have like a scene. Yeah, of course you do. It feels like that Mean Girls meme. Literally every time I see it, because it's just like, stop trying to make Pokken happen. It's not going to happen. Like, I think Pokemon Go battling will see more success than Pokken ever will.
I legitimately think at this point, someone is locked into a contract that it had to be supported for X amount of years. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
It has to have been. Okay, so the 2020 International Challenge for May has been announced. It's happening next weekend. You can get Ultra Ball Guy shirt. I will be joining it literally for the Ultra Ball Guy shirt. But they've also announced, in addition to this, that they're doing a special Players Cup event to replace the fact that we canceled Pokemon for the rest of the year. And this is really interesting because it's not just affecting like the video game Sword and Shield, but it's also affecting the TCG in the weirdest way possible, because the TCG IMO doesn't have a good client for some reason, Pokken. The winners of this Players Cup will actually receive a full travel award to a future international championship, which is kind of cool.
Not Worlds, but it's something.
It's not Worlds, but I don't know. Like, if I had the chance to like be like, yeah, I'm going to Australia for the Oceanic Internationals, like, yeah, cool. Even like going to Europe for the European Internationals, I'm into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be really cool. I mean, Ozzy and I can go get our beer.
Exactly. There you go.
It'll be worthwhile. Let's just dive into this because I just want to get the details on the floor and then we can yell about it later. So it's a two-stage event with a double elimination bracket in July and the finals in August. For Sword and Shield, you will qualify through the announced May International Challenge. The top 256 for North America, Latin America, Europe, and the top 128 from Oceania, because Japan's like, we don't want those Australians going.
Oh my gosh.
That's a really bad joke, and I apologize to all of our Australian listeners, because there are some.
That's so
Sparky,
weird that it's so
don't mean you.
Sparky, Liger, there's a lot of you. Okay.
No, we mean Liger.
So, trading card game, it's really weird because players qualify through the June ranking of PTCGO.
Yeah.
And I'll have Seth talk about that a little bit because my I don't know what they mean by ranking, because to me, I think that's just like the regular ladder. From talking to Sigma, that's not the case, and I want Seth to tell me more.
Correct.
And then Pockin, hey, you qualify by signing up. They're going to announce more information later because they haven't thought Pockin through it all, like how the internet works either. Because welcome to Pokemon. I don't think that they believe that their servers can handle a lot of people playing a lot of Pokemon at once.
Yeah.
I honestly have that feeling all the time. I get worried. I think, honestly, their servers are the reason that we talked about the 20-minute timer, I think, last week or the week before that. And that's honestly, I think, the reason why we have the 20-minute timer, I think, in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Is just because they're worried about their servers.
Other organizations have zero faith in Nintendo Online in general. Evo this year, they're doing Evo Online because, you know, the virus. So because of that, though, they had to drop Smash, which, if you know anything about Evo, that's like one of their biggest draws. Is they're one of the biggest Smash tournaments of the year. But they're saying that they just can't do it with the support and the connection issues.
Smash is also like one of the big things that people were complaining about, because we pay for Nintendo Online, right? We pay the $20 a year, which is still cheaper than like Xbox Live and PlayStation Live. However, I'm okay with paying $60 a year if that means we get good things.
Yeah.
Mostly because even though we pay that, Smash still doesn't have its own dedicated server on Nintendo Online. Like, you're not connecting to a server to play Smash. It's still peer-to-peer. And that's the real big problem. And I think Pokemon's the same way. It's peer-to-peer. And that's why we have those issues.
Not only is it peer-to-peer, but they do this very weird thing where it picks a random port every time. Mm-hmm. Which means even for someone like me who has relatively decent internet, I can't use Nintendo Online functionality, more or less, when I'm at my parents' place, because that random port shifting, the ISP just says, oh, look, malware, and blocks it.
I don't know how Nintendo is still this far behind on online infrastructure. Like, it just boggles my mind, because it's not like there aren't good examples of how to do it, and it's not like it's a trade secret for Sony and for Microsoft to be doing it.
Yeah.
These aren't trade secrets. It's definitely something that they could just be like, hey, how do we do it? And they'll be like, hey, this is how you do it. I wonder how much of it is just them being like, we don't want to have people pay that much for an online service. They're like trying to sweeten the deal with essentially making Virtual Console a subscription service, which is weird. Please don't. Just let me buy the games. Also, why do we only have Super Nintendo games? It's 2020. Come on, Nintendo. I am just very confused.
Why do they think that most people have nostalgia for the SNES? That was like that was like, what, 40 years ago? 30 years ago?
30. That was 30. It was 30.
Yeah, it was 30 years ago. The main target demographic is young 20s.
No, we would have been N64 people. Yeah. Like, I think N64 is the nostalgia that they should be hitting, and they don't.
N64? We're hitting GameCube era. We're hitting GBA.
GameCube, I'm really surprised we haven't had good emulation for that in a very long time. I'm very surprised, because I think it'd be really cool for them to do if we got a virtual console release like we did with Red, Blue, Gold, Silver, Crystal, if we would have gotten that, but on, like, the Switch, right? I would have been okay with, like, Colosseum and XD being ported that way. Especially with the rise, like, with just Shadow Pokemon appearing in Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
I would say even some Pokemon fans, this has been their first exposure to Shadow Pokemon.
Just take Dolphin. They wouldn't even be mad at this point.
I don't think so at all. Yeah.
It's right there.
I don't think they would be mad at all. I mean, they have done that in the past, too. If you look at some of the Wii U emulators, they've just ripped other people's emulators.
What are you going to do, sue us?
Yeah, right? They've just taken other people's emulators. To the point where, like, the signatures of, like, you know how they can edit code, so, like, there's just, like, one thing if you... it's just still in there. It's still in there.
Yeah.
And you can activate it on the Wii U. It's very strange. I just don't understand their relationship with this. I don't know. It's one of those things. I mean, we're talking about the company that gave us the Wii U after the Wii, and then the new 3DS. I kind of understand. I just feel like I don't understand the internet problems. I just don't understand them. I do think this is really cool that they're shifting online to an extent.
Yeah.
This is something that I've been wanting for a while. I just hope that next year, even when next year, if we do have real in-person events, that we have something like this going at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
I think the best way to do it is to have some kind of mixture like this. I really think it's unfair to the senior bracket more than the master's bracket. But even the master's bracket to an extent, because I think a lot of the people who are good at Pokemon, I'm not saying like Wolf Glick and them aren't good, but I think we'd see more players bubble up if they could do it from their house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think there are other good players who were on that caliber.
Yeah, and they may not be able to go to an in-person thing due to whatever reason, be that distance, socioeconomic, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought about doing the circuit like when I was in grad school. I'm like, maybe I should do the circuit, like just do one run at it, you know? And I looked at what I'd have to do to get points realistically, and I'm like, man, I'd have to go to like 3 or 4 regionals and then play at all these championship cups.
Yeah, it's like a part-time job.
And I'm like, man, I can't keep up with that. You know, you're asking me to eat up something like 10 weekends a year.
Yeah.
You're asking me to take 20% of my weekends and be somewhere else to play Pokemon. And I'm like, I don't know that I could dedicate myself to that. I could definitely dedicate myself to like going to an international, right? Yeah. I could say, hey, let's do that. And then to Worlds. I mean, that's great. That's 3 weekends out of my year. Like if I could just do a regional and international and then Worlds, I think that's the perfect thing to do. And then I can do another weekend where it's like, hey, I'm going to spend a few hours doing some matches online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Hearthstone, a few years ago, this is back near in the shadow times of Hearthstone, they used to have it where every event was in person. And they did that for about a year. And then they dropped it and started doing more open online invitational. The average skill ranking, I would say, shot up significantly, and a lot of no-name players started esports careers out of this, and it just came down to the fact that they couldn't afford, they didn't have a team sponsorship, and they couldn't afford $10,000 to do enough tournaments to start getting sponsorship.
Yeah.
But they had all of the relevant skill, and I'm wondering if we're going to see that. I'm not confident on the back end yet.
I don't think we'll see it right away, but if something like this were to keep happening, I think you'd see it.
Right.
You'll probably see a couple names that we haven't seen before really bubble. I don't think that you're going to see a whole bunch of people. If this became something where it's like, hey, we're going to host this like once a quarter, I think you would see it. I think you would definitely see more people bubble in.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that opportunity. Let's make like a slight shift though from like VGC focus to like TCG focus. And I want Seth to comment though.
Yeah, you got it. The way this one will work, it's not just the general versus ladder. It's the event ladder, like the one that you pay tickets for.
Okay. That's what, okay. So Sigma was right. Okay. He told me this.
And there is an internal ranking system that you can look up on Pokemon.com. If you go to your account and look up the leaderboards. If you go to the TCG area, scroll down a little bit, there's a little leaderboard bit. If you're logged in, it'll tell you where you stand in the world. So that's kind of neat.
I'm only a little upset that it's PTCGO.
I mean, it's a client that they have, and it operates well most of the time.
My main gripe is there's no way to, in the game itself, like purchase cards.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that's my main gripe. I think it has to be somebody cracked a pack and is going to trade it to you.
Or you go buy a bunch of code cards from a vendor.
Yeah, and I think that's a bummer. I think that's a real major bummer.
Yeah.
If this keeps happening, maybe they change it to an extent.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it too, it is cheaper.
Oh, it definitely is. This is definitely cheaper.
Yeah, it's annoying, and it's kind of sad that there isn't as good of a market and that the trading thing kind of sucks, let's be real here. But buying 10 code cards in order to get Dragapult VMAX, which is maybe what it's going for now, is a lot cheaper than buying one $20 card.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like $5 compared to 20. I would say a 1-4 translation is pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. So overall, it costs less money. It's just annoying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're going to take the top something. I don't think they've announced. Well, maybe it's in here. I'm trying to really quickly find where it is that says the top TCG players for that. There's a bracket that they've got, and I think they've published it somewhere. The top whatever people in that leaderboard for the event ladder will be invited to go on to the thing in July. And this is going to be taking place through all of June. So get your event tickets now. Start cashing them in and winning, playing tournament things.
It takes so long to grind those.
Mm-hmm.
So long.
And you've got to have a kind of good deck. It's not just like one-off victories where you randomly get stuff.
You have to top in like a best of 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have to be good.
And one thing to note, make sure on Pokemon.com, your TCGO profile and your play profile are linked. Otherwise, nothing will happen.
My only concern with this is that you could have people having other people run their account for them. That's my only concern.
Well, yeah.
But it's going to happen anyway. And honestly, this is better than nothing.
Yeah. Even if it is someone else running your account for you. I mean, ultimately, it's the same thing. A good player got high enough in the ladder. If they flub it and have someone else, you know, the main holder of the account takes it and actually does the championship. Okay, cool. I'm paired against someone who's not as skilled. So, I mean,
honestly, I would have somebody do it if they'd be cool with me just being able to go to Australia. Hey, friend, you want to win me a trip to Australia?
I'll give you some cool merch.
Yeah,
I'll go buy you an Australian thing.
I get paired with you. I play you from my phone versus me on my computer.
You could also, with it being the event ladder, like the problem with the event, there is a small problem with the event ladder too, because like, let's say I get together with you and like a couple other people, we can cheese the event ladder. So there's like 8 of us guaranteed to be in the event.
Yeah, that's true.
You can cheese that, which is unfortunate. I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure somebody will do it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a team organized thing to guarantee
place. Like, they'll probably take turns like winning or something like that.
Yeah, their ace gets to the highest point value and then their second gets to the second high. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Blah, blah,
blah. And I'm sure that's what will happen. The other thing I'm upset about is they used to let you buy like the tournament tickets and you can't do that anymore.
Uh-huh. So if you don't have them.
Which is upsetting. I really miss that. Like, I really wish you could pay into TCGO.
I almost feel like they'll bring it back for this specifically.
I hope they do. Like, I hope they bring it back to some extent. Like, I would love to be able to buy tradable packs on TCGO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They might not be.
They probably won't.
The reason that they probably won't, and it kind of sucks, is probably COVID. Because trading cards hurt right now, selling them especially. And if this makes people buy more packs for tradable material,
mm-hmm.
they are probably going to make more money off that than they would selling tickets.
And hashtag support your local game store, whatever.
How you can. Yep.
It's going to be hard.
You need to get physical packs, do it there. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing. But I'm really excited about this. They did say that they were going to show matches happening.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless they're just like, hey, we'll send you a capture card.
Maybe server side they have something that'll watch it.
If that's the case, I'm going to lose my mind. Because I don't know. I'm going to lose my mind. I don't know if in a good way or a bad way.
I just can't wait until the Wind Traders get caught because their matches got randomly streamed.
I'll be very upset about that because if they can get into like a battle spectator mode, like they can right now in person, and they find a way to do that online and they don't give me access to it as just like a Pokemon player.
Yeah.
I'm going to be upset because I think it is the coolest feature that is the most underutilized. To be able to spectate Pokemon matches.
I would agree with that, yeah.
If they could let you spectate Pokemon matches that would be the best thing in the world. Like, we asked for spectator mode, like, back in Gen 6 and Gen 7. They just somehow find a way to give it to us in the worst way possible every time.
They're a genie. That's what they are.
It's one of those things where it's like, where you press the button, but then there's like a negative consequence as well. Like, you get what you want, but every time you do spectator mode, a raccoon comes down from your attic and poops on your desk. That's kind of how it feels.
What the heck?
Finally, a reliable source of raccoon fertilizer.
That explains all of the... Never mind.
Yeah, it explains everything. You press the button. That's why Rocky lives in your house right now.
But, you know, Optimus Seth here, maybe that's something they enable in the DLC. Who knows anymore?
Raccoons coming out of the ceiling?
Honestly, my biggest thing is, I hope with the DLC, maybe not this one, but maybe like Crown Tundra or something like that, they get a little bit more confidence and they just increase the timer.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very low chance of happening.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to happen, I think it's going to happen that. If they would open it back up to an hour like we had before, I would enjoy the game far more. It would give it more longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly haven't been able to play OU on cart, and I feel like a lot of other people feel that way as well.
Yeah.
The genie inside me just says that we will get that as they release the next game.
Yes, that's kind of how I feel as well. I think it's going to be like, oh, here's the next game. Now you got the hour timer, and I'll be like, okay, I'll take it. I said it before, like, I am a very simple Pokemon fan. It takes two things to make me happy at this point. Give me a reasonable battle timer, and give me all the Pokemon. And that's all it takes, and then you've got Thatch, the champion of all Pokemon fans. Like, that's really all it takes.
Yeah.
I don't ask for much, I just want to know.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I haven't really picked up the actual physical game very often, even any rating. No motivation, blah, 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 blah.
Outside of, like, raiding, I don't think there is. But even then, like, you catch a Pokemon there, like, what's the point? Like, what are you going to use it for?
I mean, it's still fun, but, I mean, I would normally breed for my OU team and play that way.
Exactly. A lot of people would just breed for that, and I think a lot of people were breeding for that initially when the game came out, and then when the timer thing was discovered, like, 2 weeks after the game came out.
Yeah.
I think that's when it was just like, oh, womp, womp, womp.
I guess I could stop breeding my perfect Reuniclus.
This is a really cool step in the direction. I'm sorry that it took, like, literally a global pandemic for it to happen.
Right, yeah.
I think it's really cool that it is happening and giving people a chance to play from home. I'm hoping it's just more to come. I just hope there's more to come.
Yeah, this has kind of flung the world into the 21st century, basically, like, in a lot of ways. I don't know about you guys with your work, but there's a lot more things going on about being able to work from home for people or things like that, and this just kind of fits in.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you whatsoever.
Yeah, it like you said, it's negative that it had to happen because of this, but if this enables future things, like one tournament a year we're allowed to get travel vouchers for an international, awesome. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely cool. So
I'm not even doing it for myself. Like, I don't care that much personally. I think it is really cool, though, that it's going to give, you know, some kid in a bedroom somewhere the chance to maybe show how good they are.
It's important to note, it's not a kid in a bedroom. It's a master in a bedroom. That's the only people they're doing this for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So kid is a loose term.
Yes. But I'm very excited to see, like, somebody who, I don't know, like, the typical person that you see, like, this is back to video game, and then maybe this is a good place to end it, but the typical person that you see, I think, going to these events, outside of, like, Wolf Glick and Aaron Zhang now, it's typically, like, college-age kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These are, like, the well-off college kids that, like, have the money to travel.
Yeah.
I think this gives somebody who's, like, maybe they're in, like, community college because they don't have a lot of money. I think this evens the economic playing field.
I would agree with that.
And that's something that I've always been all for in Pokemon. I think it's something that is just good in general. Like, I'd much rather have somebody who wouldn't have gotten this chance otherwise to win this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. And maybe that'll happen. We don't know. We'll stay tuned.
Yeah. I'm going to win with Sableye Flapple coming at you live.
You can try.
You can try. And so on that note, we're going to stop here. And we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz after this short break. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's P-U-C-L, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to Puckle's Pokemon of the Episode, not PokeQuiz. Our Pokemon of the Episode this week is National Dex number 758, Salazzle, the Toxic Lizard Pokemon.
All of the Dex entries are cursed, so we're going to read... So we're going to read the Shield one. The winner of competitions between Salazzle is decided by which one has the most males landed with it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Which one has the bigger army?
It's like Pokemon cards. Who has the bigger collection?
No, that's not... Nobody wins that war. Everybody's a loser if they're comparing Pokemon card collection sizes. Everybody's a loser. All right. So this week we have Salazzle. Salazzle is surprisingly okay. I mean, not surprisingly. It was always good, even in Gen 7. It was like, I think it was UU in Gen 7, though. And that's because if it's base 117 speed and it's base 111 attack or special attack, and then everything else is pretty much garbage, and that's fine.
Yep.
Nothing else is good about this Pokemon except for it's 111 special attack and it's 117 speed. 117 speed, I think, is the most important.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it had about 10 more special attack, it would be doing a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think 117, though, is just like a really good speed tier.
Mm-hmm.
And it got Fire Lash because we're just like, Heatmore doesn't need a signature move. Why did we do that?
No.
physical Fire Lash.
Let's give it a fun physical time. Fire move, yeah.
What a good time. That's a move we should give it. I'm surprised it doesn't actually naturally learn Fire Blast in Gen 8.
Mm.
It doesn't naturally learn it. You have to teach it via TR. It's a TR. Most good moves are TRs. That's what I have to remember.
Yep.
If it's a good move, it's a TR.
How dare you talk about breaking swipe that way?
If it's a good move, it's a TR. I like that it's TR. I like TRs. I thought I would hate it, but I love that they're all replenishable fairly easily.
Yeah.
I like that you have to work for it, but you can get them if you need to. That's what I want to try to say. I think TRs were implemented well. Good job, Sword and Shield. Positive thing from Sword and Shield. Just saying. Because apparently I just say negative things about it. That's a good one, though. Okay, so tell us more about Salazzle and this team, Seth.
You got it. We built this team for OU. This is actually the one I'm using currently, and it's a whole lot of fun. We've got, obviously, Salazzle with heavy-duty boots, the best item in the game. The ability is Corrosion, which I'll get to that in a minute. EVs are 252 special attack, 56 special defense, 200 speed, timid nature, 0 attack IVs, obviously. That is to be faster than things trying to outspeed Gengar and other base 110s.
Yeah.
Faster than all those. There's nothing else important in that speed bracket. The moves are Toxic, Sludge Wave, Flamethrower, and Nasty Plot. Now, Corrosion, for those at home who haven't learned, allows Salazzle to toxic things that would otherwise not be able to be toxicked, namely poison types and steel types. So, Toxapex, which normally would have no problem switching into these stab moves, does not want to switch into Salazzle for fear of being toxicked.
It should also be noted that Salazzle doesn't have a good other ability. It's oblivious, so...
I mean, you're running this for Corrosion. That is the purpose of this Salazzle, basically.
Okay.
Because the other members on this team are stopped by things like Corviknight, things like Toxapex, and if you toxic them, end game, you win, you're
They're
fine.
They're scared.
They're scared. Yeah, and it's just hard to switch into, and it really takes advantage of the prevalence of Clefable at the moment. That's the biggest thing.
I'm so upset by that. That sentence hurts me.
I love it. Just wait till DLC drops and we have to fear the wrath that is Heavy Duty Boots Volcarona. Well, everything will change.
Yeah.
We'll still have Clefable. Oh, no. Clefable never goes away.
Volcarona eats it for breakfast and uses it as setup fodder. Get ready.
We need Gen 5 Clefable.
Ugh. Anywho, bringing up support for that, Salazzle is Como-O with Leftovers. It's got the ability Bulletproof with 252 HP, 200 defense, and 56 speed with an impish nature.
Why is that the spread?
It's the spread to outspeed Aegislash.
Okay, makes sense. Cool, cool.
Yep. And it's got an impish nature, moves of Stealth Rock, Body Press, Earthquake, and Iron Defense, which is...
Bulky Boy, yeah.
It's Bulky Boy, but also Iron Defense is a Swords Dance. So
for Body Press, yep.
For Body Press, it's delightful.
Body Press is, as I will always say, my favorite move from Gen 8.
Yeah. And I mean, Como-O is your Aegislash counter. It's fantastic, because Bulletproof means it doesn't care about Shadow Ball.
Yeah.
You walk in and Earthquake it. And yeah. it's really good with the other members of this team.
I'm into it. So speaking of those, we have Ferrothorn with my favorite move, Body Press.
Woo.
it makes Ferrothorn a terror. It's great. Magnezone, don't cur. So it doesn't have hidden power anymore anyway. It'll get exactly. Mystical Fire. It'll get Mystical Fire Magnezone. That'll totally be a thing. So... Ferrothorn has iron barbs because it's a Ferrothorn, and it's 252 HP, 252 defense because it's a Ferrothorn, and 4 special defense, impish nature because it's a Ferrothorn, and it's got spikes, body press, knockoff because it's one of the few Pokemon that actually still has it, which, well, again,
they all have
another good thing that Swish did, BT does.
They all have it now because home, but...
Well,
yeah.
Okay. You keep thinking, yeah, never mind. You and I are in different worlds because
different
you play
worlds.
OU. And I play, you need to have that little special Gen 8
plus
mark.
Or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is now. And I like that world better. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Mostly just because I didn't realize how bad it had gotten with like different moves on Pokemon.
Everything
until
has
recently.
Toxic, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, everything has toxic and knockoff.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't miss knockoff. I don't miss it. I'll be completely honest with you. And it also has Leech Seed because, again, it's a Ferrothorn with Leftovers. Yeah. Woo. So, I mean, it's just going to sit there and hit you.
Yep.
And set up spikes because it needs to do that for the, I guess, the main attacker on this team.
Yeah.
The other Pokemon is Clefable that is on this team because it's a Clefable and it's OU. And ever since Gen 6, I don't think Clefable's not been OU.
Yeah.
That's correct. I went and looked it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time it wasn't good, in quotes, was when it was a terror in RU.
Yeah.
It's a normal type.
Yeah, it was back when it was a normal type. The fairy type, I will still argue, is the best thing that ever happened to Pokemon.
Physical special split. Counter argument.
We can say that. I mean, I think both of them are definitely instrumental, but I think fairy type was required to really balance things out. I think fairy type was something that had to happen because of the physical special split. That's what I should say. So Clefable as Magic Guard, because it's a Clefable, and 252 HP, 252 special defense, 4 defense. Why are the IVs 7 speed?
Seven speed is so you outrun Hippowdon.
Okay.
But are still the slowest thing on the field in order to guarantee that you're the slower of the two Clefables teleporting out.
Cool, cool. Yeah, because teleport's just a U-turn.
Yes, right? But with negative priority.
Yeah, with priority. Yeah.
Which is why you want to be faster than Hippowdon, because otherwise it will whirlwind.
Yes. And so Teleport, Moonblast, Wish, and Protect. Pretty standard Clefable. This is pretty standard, I think, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's Clefable. Take us home, Linnean.
And we have a very fun Gen 7 edition that everyone forgets is a Gen 7 Mon, Zeraora, with an Expert Belt. It's got Volt Absorb, because of course it's got Volt Absorb. Its EVs are a little peculiar with 236 attack, 20 special attack, 252 speed, hasty nature, that's minus defense plus speed.
Correct.
Plasma Fists, Close Combat, Knock Off, and Grass Knot. It's very fast. Expert belt means it's going to hit very hard, even on things that have, you know, strong strong defenses. You've just kind of got all the coverage you could really want. You're going to get knockoff for some item removal and grass knot for those pesky Dracovish counters.
Which, speaking of which, water absorbers. That's what the special attack EVs are for. It guarantees a one shot on Seismitoad after one layer of spikes.
Ooh.
Yep. And that's because of our good friend, the Expert Belt, who yep. increases super effective damage. Good thing expert that's never been an cool. ability on a good Pokemon. That would have been overkill. And rounding the team out, we've got the actual main sweeper, a Primarina. Ability, Torrent, because Liquid Voice is trash. We've got Leftovers with 248 HP, 80 defense, 44 special defense, 136 speed. Explain.
Yep, and important to note, also a calm nature. First of all, the speed is so you outrun Conkeldurr.
Okay.
The special defense and nature and HP combine to mean your substitutes are not broken by a Clefable, Moonblast, uninvested.
Okay.
And the 80 defense is kind of left over, but a cool benchmark that it hits is if you have not taken a single point of HP damage, you live a Ficious Rend.
Okay.
If you have taken a single hit point, you have a chance to be one shot.
Killed. Okay. So with that, it's got zero attack IVs, as you might expect, with Substitute, Calm Mind, Scald, and Moonblast, and helping you not lose that HP is the held items of the leftovers. You click Substitute, you click Calm Mind, and then you click whichever of the other two moves kills what's in front of you, probably Moonblast, and you just sweep everything up.
Yeah.
Water Fairy is a very good type.
And it busts the common balance cores that are here now, like Corviknight, Toxapex, Clefable. They cannot bust through Primarina. Ferrothorn without Power Whip, you know, like the one that we're running, cannot bust through Primarina. It's excellent at coming in on common cores right now and having a field day.
Yeah.
So when you get this episode on Monday, it's useless. Don't play it.
yeah. Everyone starts running Power Whip Ferrothorn again.
Power Whip Ferrothorn. Here we go. Cool, cool. But yeah, that is your Pokemon of the episode. If you want to run this team, it's always going to be in the Discord. You can try to run it on Showdown. As always, just go to the Discord. Link is in the show notes, as always. We're going to shift gears and kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
To the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can send us emails at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what you want to talk about. We typically have a prompt. Last week, our prompt is, what Pokemon would you like to see get a Gigantamax? And we're going to go here and read those here in a second. But first of all, this segment is brought to you by the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hoofs!
Hooves.
And if your email is well written and we like it, we'll give you like a fancy green roll on Discord. And you'll join such likes as the illustrious Bo. So we'll go ahead and let's just jump into these emails. Our first one is going to be from Haley, Ice Trainer Haley. Hey, Thatch and Co. Ice Trainer Haley here. Love this week's episode. Definitely going to try out the team of the week. As much as I want to see more G-Max ice types, G-Max Lapras is arguably the best G-Max anyway. So I started thinking about different types that could use some more of that G-Max love.
Is that bias? At first, smell?
I mean, it's not wrong. G-Max Lapras is probably the best one.
Is yeah.
At first, I was thinking about adding another G-Max flying type. The design for Braviary has potential to be absolutely amazing. Oh my gosh, America Bird?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? When it comes to its G-Max move, it would be interesting to see a G-Max move that counters other G-Max moves, like G-Max Extinguish. With its powerful wings, it creates a whirlwind that does massive damage and removes buffs from opponents' teams. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Haze. I'm into it. It's like Haze. Yeah. It's like Haze. The only problem is, like, flying type moves are like...
Yeah, Max Airstream is so
Max
good.
Airstream is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I care.
It would have to be something that you didn't want to be fast anyway.
Yeah, that has to be it. I can't wait for Max Airstream Landorus. It's going to be a good time.
How dare you?
Yeah, fun.
Another one that would be really fun would be a G-Max Ditto.
Ooh.
My thoughts on a G-Max Ditto would be that it can only use its G-Max prior to transforming. If it transforms before using G-Max, then it would not work. The move that G-Max Ditto would have to it would be G-Max Metrodome, where it transforms into a random G-Max Pokemon and uses its signature move.
Oh, no.
The keyword is random, so the trainer has to gamble if it would be worth trying to use G-Max Metrodome.
The answer is always no, but the answer is always yes.
So the thing I like about that answer is, one, it sounds like something that Game Freak would actually do.
Yeah.
Right?
And two, it's such a Game Freak thing to do because it would be just that useless.
And it gives you a reason to use the Ditto exclusive items, as opposed to Imposter, where they don't work anymore.
Yeah.
Gotta get that Quicksilver powder.
Yeah, it's so weird, but I'm so into it. Those are my thoughts. Let me know what you think. Sending you love from St. Louis, Haley. Well, thank you, Haley.
Thank you, Haley.
Moving on. We have another one from Eve.
Eve writes to us, "Hey, beauties.
Aww.
So I kind of hate that I'm going to answer this week's question by saying that I love a Gigantamax Ninetales, and for no reason at all other than I love it a lot, and it's gorgeous, and I think it would look super cool. I am but aesthetic trash. I did have something else for you, though."
I mean, I love that that's the answer, and it's a good answer. Like...
The only shame is that Whimsicott wasn't there to give it the inflection it deserved.
That's true.
A couple of months ago, you guys asked a question I completely forgot to answer, although I wanted to. I remember it as my excitement for the DLC ramps up, though. You asked me what sort of DLC we'd like to see. It occurred to me that because of the gym format, I've been blasting my insert soccer or football World Cup playlist every time that I get to one. Inspired by that, my general love of the World Cup, and by just the soccer football game in full stop, clearly a European, here's what I'd be thinking would be sort of nifty. The DLC is a Pokemon World Cup, and is a daily rotation of battling an Elite Four from each region. Mm. The stadium look also changes with the region, and features an arena where you can catch regional Pokemon. This would probably be a bit of a total beast and a coding nightmare, but dang it, a girl can dream.
That's cool.
Yes, okay. I've gotten the badge twice and forgotten to collect it. Whoopsie doodle.
So, fun fact, I think we had something very similar to that.
Gen 5.
In Gen 5, it already kind of existed. People do want it back.
This actually wouldn't be that big of a coding nightmare.
No, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, this is something that's very reasonable.
When people say that, it's because it's actually impossible. This is feasible.
This is very reasonable.
I think it would be cool to see, like, what a Hoenn-themed tournament... What is the word for that? Tournaments are held.
Championship.
Building. Arena. Thank you. A Hoenn-themed arena would look like, or a Johto-themed arena would look like. What kind of aesthetics amongst the building would change? That would be kind of neat.
Water
everywhere.
The only thing I wish we got was we'd get that arena, but maybe a few more details in the background. Like, that's probably the thing I dislike the most about all the gym battles is it was just like it's always an arena, right? With like slight aesthetic changes. Mm-hmm. And the thing I wish it was that they were more alive and it was something more akin to some of like the earlier Pokemon
tournament
gym things in the anime. Pokken Tournament, I think it'd be an excellent example of what I want. I really just want there to be a little bit more life, not just like with people in the background cheering and stuff like that, but what I would really like to see, I don't know, like a Johto one, like we see it and it's just like it's constantly fall because that's Johto.
Ooh,
and you have like a tower in the background and like occasionally you can see like Ho-Oh fly by it or something like
Sableye
that.
Sableye in a minecart going through the mines.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You see Seth with a Sableye riding through a minecart in a really sick Indiana Jones knockoff. The problem is there's no success. It's just
Sableye would be a tolerable short round.
Oh my gosh. Sableye. Hold on to your potatoes, Seth Vilo. That is true. That is true. All right. Seth, speaking of you and your Sableye name short round, read this email from Mythwing.
All right. Hi, gang. This is Mythwing. I'm on the Discord, but I'm not super active. I found the podcast while being bored out of my mind at my part-time job. Me too. Really been enjoying the last few episodes. My favorite types are Fairy and Steel, by the way. As for which Pokemon should get a G-Max, the Gen 4 starters. I mean, does Torterra need an explanation? Go full Avatar The Last Airbender Lion Turtle with it. And Empoleon could turn into an Iron Maiden-esque juggernaut. Infernape would probably be the hardest, as a design around speed and swift strikes typically doesn't mesh with the big old boy. However, you could go to the roots of the design and make him look even more like Sun Wun King Kong, Sun Goku, with a giant fire staff.
Who was based on Sun Wukong, yes.
Yeah, yeah, the league champion. An even more pronounced flame crown. So he could do that.
Oh, well, that's from Mythwing.
That's
he didn't even like sign out. He didn't even sign out. I'm all for some Gen 4 love, because I feel like Gen 4 has kind of been like sidelined.
Yeah.
For a very long time. I don't know if that's intentional or not. It could be intentional because they're just like, hey, we're about to do this.
Until this
about
gen.
As long as Gen 3 was sidelined before Omega Ruby, and about as long as Ruby Gold and Silver were sidelined until Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I mean, it's just its turn.
I agree and disagree. Because if you look at the timelines for that, it just keeps getting like longer and longer.
Nah.
Because when was Red and Blue released?
1984.
Okay, so 1998 in the US, 1996 in Japan, which people forget a lot,
yeah.
BT-dubs, that it came out 2 years later in America.
Mm-hmm.
People forget this a lot, and it bugs me to no end.
I forget that 1996 was our summer.
Yeah, and then what happens is we got the remake in 2004, right? And so that's 8 years. 8 years, 6 years if you're in the US. Mm-hmm. Gen 2 came out in 1999. Well, in Japan in 2000 in the US. And so then Heart Gold Soul Silver came out in 2010. So that's 10 years. So we already see a difference. That's a 2 year longer difference. And then Gen 3 came out in 2007. We got a remake in 2014. That's 11 years.
Gen 3 came out in 2003.
So, three in the US.
Yeah, you said seven, but yeah, three.
That's what I meant. 2007 was Gen 4
yeah.
in the US. It was yeah. 2006
I mean,
in Japan.
They increase it by a year each time. It's fine. It's fine. This is fine.
We're at 13 years right now.
Shh, it's fine.
We're at 13 years as of right now.
It's fine.
The 13th anniversary happened last month in the US. Just heads up. Like, it's been a long time, and I think a lot of those Pokemon kind of get sidelined if they're not named Lucario.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Which is really frustrating. I also think that Gen 4, I don't know why they stopped doing this. One of the things I really loved about Gen 4 that they haven't done in a very long time.
Thick boys.
Is there were Pokemon in the gym that the gym leaders had that weren't the same type as the gym leader.
Ooh, yeah.
They just used moves of that type. Like the ace on the ice type gym leader's team in Gen 4 was a Medicham.
Yeah.
Because it knew Ice Punch. And I love that.
I mean, they did that in Gen 8 just with the last gym.
Yeah, no,
the weather
and
type gym.
I have praised that for like the past three episodes.
Yeah.
And
it's
I love
it. I like
that
it. It's cool.
Because I think Pokemon gyms need to get away from types. That's what I believe.
Or do it with ideas, yeah.
I think they need to do it based on ideas. I think getting away from being like, oh, the Pokemon are weak to fire is a bad way to go in the future, especially with how complicated types are now. Well, types playing different roles now, because I mean, you have Ferrothorn, which is a Ferrothorn, but then you can have, you know, Duraludon. I don't think they play the same role at all, but they're both steel types. So just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there. We can fight about it another day. This is Thatch's
soapbox.
Yep, that's my soapbox for today. This is brought to you by Thatch's Ideas. okay, but moving on. Thank you for all of your emails. There were a lot of emails this week because I think a lot of you had Gigantamax wish lists, and I wish we could have gotten to them all, but reading that many emails on the show is bad. I promise you.
If only there was a way we could read them all in an easy and convenient fashion.
There is.
What?
It's called going to the Discord server and reading the unread emails in the unread emails.
You mean there is a way
server.
For me to read the community involvement?
Yes, there is. Yay, Discord.
Yeet.
It's like Discord's a great place to go. It's in the show notes. Yeet, say the youth. All right. But moving on, if you want to email us next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, I guess let us know if you will be competing or not in one of these cool online tournaments that could win you a free trip to Australia. Woo! That's how I'm going to phrase them. I'm going to win my free trip to Australia. So let us know. I'm definitely looking forward to it. To your emails, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, other than just going to our Discord server, which is conveniently linked in the show notes, as always, you can always keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can, of course, help us out by viewing some of our other content. First of all, our YouTube content, which I'm really excited about. That's been getting off the ground and wonderfully. I really like recording them, which is a good sign, which means that we will record them.
YouTube be popping.
And yeah, we have a Fire Red Nuzlocke going up over there. If you can go over there and watch it, we would really appreciate it. We're trying to get to enough watch hours that we can get repartnered by YouTube. I'm very excited for that. So if you guys can go over there and watch it, it's a good time. They're like little podcasts where Thatch interacts with the co-host for a few episodes, and then we move on to another co-host, and we play Fire Red Nuzlocke. It's a really good time. Neither of you have been on it, and you should.
I know. I want to.
Yeah.
You should.
Recorded twice.
Three times. And they're all in the evenings. But yes, we'll get there. We've got plenty to go. I think right now we're recorded up to Vermilion City. We haven't finished Vermilion City by any stretch. So
I'm excited.
A lot to go. A lot of opportunities for you guys to be there. We're not even there on the I think we're about to take on Brock. By the time this is out, I think the episode where we fight Brock is up.
Nice.
And that's it. So definitely go catch that on our YouTube, youtube.com/PucklePodcast. If you want to watch us live, go over to twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast, where I typically stream something at least once a week, if not two things, especially with quarantine. So I've been streaming more. Mm-hmm. Other than that, if you want to support the show, a few ways you can do that. One, you can subscribe to us on Twitch with Twitch Prime membership, or I guess a regular subscription if you want as well. But Twitch Prime, you get it for free. And then on top of that, if you would go over to TeePublic and buy anything over there, it really helps support us. Finally, if you buy, if you buy Seth's favorite ramen noodles over at Vite Ramen, you can go ahead and use code Puckle over there for a 10% discount, and it helps out the show as well. But finally, this is the real finally, if you go over to Puckle Podcast or patreon.com/PucklePodcast, you can support the show in a variety of ways. And you will get free giveaway Pokemon and access to our breeder bot. And I think now we're doing early releases of the YouTube videos as well. So we kind of just put them up as we edit them instead of doing our release schedule, which is right now Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. So you can just get them whenever and just binge them as soon as they're edited instead of being like, oh man, I got to wait until Tuesday. So I'm very excited for that. So on that note, though, that is everything. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I guess I'm first, huh? I've been Linian.
And I've been Seth Vilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.